Father, we thank you tonight for this Bible training, that we may see in your word direction of how to please you and to live a lifestyle that is pleasing to you. We thank you everybody has an ear to hear and a heart to believe. And so we yield to your spirit tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You be seated, get your Bible, your pen, because we're talking about praying in the spirit. It's a secret to the supernatural life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I want to look at two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Now, what I've found out over the years, and recently, I dealt with a young lady who was having problems. I didn't know the young lady. They went to a large church that's supposed to know about the Holy Ghost. After ministering to them quite for a while, I asked them what they feel with the Holy Ghost. Did they speak in tongues? They told me no. I think we went on and got them filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I was on another occasion talking to a young businessman. Upright, nice young man, loved God. And so I turned to him and I said, are you filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? He fumbling around a little bit, and I know when he fumbled, he wasn't filled. He was Christian, he saved. See, we can't get the birth of being born again and baptized mixed up. They go together, but they put you in another dimension of the spirit. But what good it is to be baptized and don't pray. See, a lot of times people get baptized, they go back with John and the boys back there and get the initiate baptism, but they don't continue in praying in the spirit. So I'll show you that in two or three places, but tonight I want to prove praying in the spirit is not just you speaking unto God, but it's God, is a way that God divinely speak to you. You know, you're dealing with something, you can't get it straight. So that in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, say, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. You notice that? For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mystery. Now, you notice the word speaketh is in that text, in that verse three times. Speaketh. And then I was praying, and the Lord, in Isaiah chapter 28 and the 11th verse, Isaiah 28 and verse 11, for with stammering lips, and another tongue, now notice, will he speak to his people? It goes on to say, to whom he said, this is the rest. 12 verse, you with me? Wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But I noticed there, three things there, that God speaks to us through famine lips and other tongues, and there's a refreshing and a rest. I really know you're not going to get into it unless you speak in tongues. It's a settling down. Even if you're dealing with something that is real crucial, if you pray in the spirit, it seems like you enter into a restful place. Amen. Amen. Now, if you turn with me to another scripture, I want to go forward, start giving you the points of the importance of praying in the Spirit, what praying in the Spirit will do for you. Turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. So a lot of things can be settled if you pray in the Spirit. I always did. After I got baptized, I never quit. Every day I pray in the Spirit. Sometime 4 days in the morning. Yeah. In Acts chapter 10, there in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. You see that? Then you notice in the 45th verse, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because they that on the Gentile also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And notice in verse 46 now, because this will be a blessing to you. For they heard them speak with tongue and magnify God. So actually, one of the points is speaking in tongue magnifies God. You get over in the spirit realm, you're saying the things to God God need to hear. Then you go to Acts 19, and then we'll take off Acts 19 now. And this is where the dilemma come in. People in church, and I'm going to give an invitation. If anybody not baptized, not speaking, I need to get you baptized, especially if you're a member of this church. You need to pray in the spirit. Because here is the Lord's church, and people have been going there 8 years and never been introduced to the Holy Ghost. Another young man, his wife been going 5 years, they've never been introduced to the Holy Ghost. How can you go to a church that long that believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and not be introduced to the Holy Ghost? You know, every Sunday we give an invitation for people to be baptized with the Spirit. I'm not ashamed of it. It's in the Bible. Are you following me? Now notice in Acts 19, here's a dilemma here. Verse 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper courts, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Who he found? Certain disciples. He said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. You see that? Come on, we'll see something else. And he said to them, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him what should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Now notice verse 5 now. It tells you the separation here. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Didn't they? Didn't they say that? Now go on and see now what happened to the sixth verse. If they got it all, why they didn't get it all in the fifth verse? And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. The same one who was baptized in Jesus' name. And notice what it says after that, because a lot of time your life needs prophesying over. And they spoke with tongue and prophesied. You saw that? Now, praying in tongues. Well, now I want to read something about Paul again. Go back to 1 Corinthians 14. I don't want to skip reading this. I want to read it every time. Because there's 100-something things I'm going to tell you about praying in tongues. Go back to 1 Corinthians 14 and look at the 18th verse. I don't want to pass it up. Paul said, I thank my God. I speak with tongue more than y'all. Great Apostle Paul said it. He said it. There it is right there. So if you would turn your Bible now to Romans 8:26, I'm going to give you another pointer about praying in the spirit that will take you in the realm of the supernatural. Hallelujah. You know, I was studying another apostle. I was studying back behind. I started studying behind him before I was called to be an apostle, I think. And he said his church went on into the supernatural. He started teaching people about miracles and signs, wonders. People started getting delivered. And his church grew from 2,500 to 1,500. Yeah. It did grow. See, it grew to mature people who wanted to go on with God. You can't go by new miracle numbers. Numbers don't mean power. Yeah, it grew. The church actually grew from 2,500 to 1,500. And then they start doing some things in the spirit. You see, the people who just wanted to be there, they were out the way. And they got a chance to get people who really want to go into the supernatural. Now, we can't fight the supernatural. Church, look at me. We can't fight the supernatural. We can't go back and just relax. No, we got to press in the spirit that God can manifest as he desired to manifest. Amen? Amen? And more people can get delivered, more people can get help, and we'll be more free. I believe that. You believe that? Amen. Now, praying in tongue is praying in line with the divine will of God. So when you're praying in tongue, you're praying in line with the divine will of God. Here, notice what it says here in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, that's a misprint, himself, he's a person, maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth, the Holy Spirit, what is the what? Mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession, watch this now, for the saints, according to what? According to the will of God. According to the will of God. Notice that now. So we say praying in tongue is praying in line with the divine will. There are times that comes in your life, you're dealing with something, and you don't know how to pray for it. Man, I'm telling you, you don't know what to do. But if you learn, you got seats over here, Ray. If you learn to pray in the Spirit, you can pray the divine will of God. Now, notice that. Your infirmity is help. What happened when you're praying in tongues? The Holy Ghost take a whole together against with you. Yes, write that down. He take a whole together against with you in a divine way. Are you following me? Power you can't have, he make it available to you, because then you and the Holy Ghost come into partnership in spiritual matter. I said you and the Holy Ghost come into partnership in spiritual matter when you're praying in tongues. See, are you following me? See, you can't miss praying in the Spirit. You can't miss your target. You can't miss your answer. You can't miss your victory. It is wonderful what God has done for us. I'm glad I'm beyond just being baptized with water. I'm glad I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost, unashamedly. He helps me. He helps my weaknesses and my infirmities and my inadequacies and my inabilities. When I pray in the Spirit, I turn into another man. If you generally pray in the Spirit. So notice that. Help us our infirmities. Give us the mind of the Spirit. And take us into the will of God. What more you want? See, that's why Satan always call it gibberish. And people about that, Satan always try to talk against it because Satan can't have it. See, the devil can't be baptized with the Holy Ghost. We one up on him now. He can't be saved and he can't be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you out of his league. You didn't hear me. I said, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're out of the devil's lead. That's why God gave you that. So you can step up and get above him. More powerful than him. More wiser than him. And then, you know, on the tail end of this, the 28th voice now manifests. The 28th voice is connected to praying in the Holy Ghost. The 28th voice, all things work together for good for them that love God. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Well, now we got the Holy Ghost help our infirmities, all right? Take a hold together against with us. The Holy Ghost give us a mind of the Spirit, all right? And the Holy Ghost put us in the complete will of God, all right? Now, I noticed there, the Holy Ghost has something to do with your love life. The praying in tongue cause you to love God more. Then also, every one of you all have a purpose. You have a destiny. God sent you here for a reason, but God saved you for a reason. And praying in the Holy Ghost align you with God's purpose for your life. You know, you might have been in one trade for a long time, but find out from the Holy Ghost is the wrong trade. You might have went to school for it. I've heard of doctors went to school all those years and find out God didn't call them to be a doctor, he called them to be a preacher. And they closed their medicine bag and went after it. I've read many times in different books in different time, people miss their destiny by trying to be something before God tell them what to be. So praying in tongue is praying in line with the divine will. I think I want to be in his divine will. Now, you know, we can pray scriptures. I understand the word of God is the will of God. But yet when you don't find a scripture to fit your situation, and then things hitting you so fast, you ain't got time to find no scripture. But you're praying the Holy Ghost, you know that you're coming in alignment with God, and you know that you and God are going to work it out. Somebody say hallelujah. Right? See, it's important that you pray, children. Don't just say, I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, and don't just pray at the church. No, pray in your car. Pray in the tongue. Pray in tongue. It we're going to find out how many things it protect you from dying early. So that Romans 8:26-28 is so powerful. If I just had that, those verses, I'd pray in tongue. Maybe you don't have no infirmity. How many of y'all need help? I need help every day. Yeah, every day. Paul gave us very important insight in praying in tongue and its function in the spirit world. Praying in tongue and tongue function in the spirit world. Let me see if I share this. I found some marks in my Bible. You know, I got so many Bibles. I got a mark. And then every now and then I stumble back on something God showed me. And I was reading, and I believe this will give us a little help on the importance of praying in the Holy Ghost. Notice in Acts, I'm going to go quick now, Acts 17:16. Now when Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred up in him. Mark that. His spirit was stirred up in him when he saw him going in to idolatry and, you know, things. But notice the statement. Praying in tongues stirs your spirit up in you. You know, Paul will say, man, see, I pray in tongues more than you all. That's why when he saw sin or saw something, his spirit would get stirred up because he had already charged his spirit to righteousness. Notice over in Acts 18:5. And when Silas and Timotheus was come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. You see, when you pray in tongues, I'm just taking it from the Apostle Paul. When you pray in tongues, there are times you're going to get pressed in the spirit. And praying in the tongue, my friend, is pressing in the spirit. It's pressing to another realm, another dimension, another ability, another anointing. Are you following me? And so it opened your life up wide for miracles, signs, wonders, the supernatural. The ability to do the impossible. I don't want to just be no church member. You can join the 4-H Club. That was the deal. No, the church is a supernatural organism. Notice again now. Notice again. I'm going to show you something else. Notice in Acts 19:21, we just got to reading about this. After these things were ended, Paul, you with me? Yes. Purposed in the spirit. Now you say he pressed in the spirit. He was stirred in the spirit. He purposed in the spirit. Why are you doing all this? Why? Because he prayed in tongue more than them all. I'm just showing you this now. This ain't a caution, this is just extra. Pressed in the spirit, purpose in the spirit. And then there are times you say, and it seemed good to the Holy Ghost. When you're praying in tongue, the thing that seemed good to the Holy Ghost will reveal itself to you. And what seemed with the Holy Ghost, good for the Holy Ghost is going to help you with it. I'll try to find one there for you, and then I'm going on with the lesson. Go back to Acts 13. When you're praying in tongues, take notes on this. When you're praying in the spirit, you're actually ministering to the Lord. That's what 1 Corinthians 14:2 telling us. You speak as unto God, not unto men. You're actually ministering to the Lord and giving an opening supernaturally for the Lord to minister to you above the ordinary circumstance. See? There in Acts 13:2, as they minister to the Lord and fast, the Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost said. You notice the fourth verse. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. See, all of this work of the Holy Ghost, I love it. It's showing us, you see. And then notice in Acts chapter 10, verse 19, when Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, spoke to him. Spirit spoke to him. I said the Spirit spoke to him. You see, I was looking for the one, I want to show that one, and if I don't find it, I got to go on. I'm not looking for it. I got it marked. The Holy Spirit is John 14:26. And put it up there in the Amplified Bible. John 14:26. The Holy Spirit is our helper, intercessor, and comforter. John 14:26. Put it up where the people can see it. Can you find it? In the Amplified Bible. See, notice that how he said it is amplified. That's an amplification of the Holy Ghost. But the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit. You see that? Put that down so you can get it, you see. He's a counselor, he's a helper, he's an intercessor, he's an advocate, he's a strengthener, he's a standby. Hallelujah. So he's there to help us in every area of our life, and particularly in prayer. The Holy Ghost is. Amen? Amen. Now, if you want to have an effective prayer life, you can pray the Our Father prayer, and you can make your request known unto God, and you can pray with thanksgiving and praise. But yet, to have a full effective prayer life, it must be done according to the will of God and by faith. Let me say it this way. I will say it again. As our helper, our strengthener, our standby, our counselor, the Holy Spirit help us to pray. I'm back to Romans 8:26 now. Meaning the Holy Spirit taking hold together with and against. Now, groaning, you find in Romans 8:26, 27, 28, groaning in the Bible does not mean moaning or complaining. It always alludes to prayer and intercession. Groaning here is talking about praying in tongues. I get to groaning, my spiritual father get to groaning sometime out around him. I've been in some powerful meetings. Get the groaning in the spirit and mind, God. Then they had brother and sister Goodman. They were out there in the old school. They would pray. You heard about them, Joe. They'd pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray till something happened. Many times, let me see if you ever been here. Many times, we do not know exactly how we ought to approach a situation in prayer. Anybody ever been there? But thank God the Holy Spirit inside us come to our aid as we pray in tongues. Been there many times. I'll tell you the truth, what I know now, I wouldn't want Pastor Chair, but I know not to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because I know I couldn't do an efficient job. Too many weaknesses. Too many things I don't know. He comes against the problem. Come on. He come against the problem and hold us together. Wow. See, he'd be doing two things at one time. He coming, when you're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is coming against the problem. And at the same time, what? Wow, we can go home right now. That's good news there, brother. That's good news. He come against the problem. I don't know how to come against it. So he's praying through me. He's coming against the problem. At the same time, the problem might be getting ruffled. He hold me together. He give me his strength. What is the strength of God? What is the strength of Jesus? See? Sometimes I need to be held together, I tell you the truth. How about you? In this world, this life, this time, you know, I pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit hold me in place. So I can find my way out of that dark spot. Dark situation. Attack. Attempt. You see what I'm saying? The Holy Ghost. I just pray in tongue, man. Pray in the Spirit. And when I pray in the Spirit, I'm getting edified. He's building me up. And he's taking me out of the sense realm. I felt so sorry when that young businessman, as eager as he is and hungry as he is, when he told me he couldn't pray in tongue, I almost wanted to cry. Because he's missing 3/4 of his life in this life, you understand? He already has eternal life. Tongue is warrior, is war in tongue. It's the battle zone. When you pray in the Spirit, you can war in tongue and you can win in tongue. And if y'all dealing with something now, let me tell you something. Pray in the Spirit. Get your pad and a pen and the Bible. Pray in the Spirit and tarry before the Lord. And just pray and press. And sometimes you by yourself get a little loud. Yeah. Now, praying in tongues, man. Now, there's side by side when you're praying in tongues. Side by side with the Holy Ghost, you're standing against the enemy to remove him. Wow. You heard me? When you're praying in tongues, side by side, you're standing with the Holy Ghost against the enemy to remove him. He's going to have to move, isn't he? Yeah, the Holy Ghost is God, you know. So I'll tell you this. If you take a note of that, here's a statement. There's no hope for the devil. When you don't know what to say in prayer, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what to say. And, listen, it is always in line with God's will. You listening? Here we go. You cannot fail with the Holy Spirit involved in your prayer life. What is that? I say you cannot fail with the Holy Spirit involved in your prayer life. All the time when you're praying in tongue, you're praying Rhema word. When you're praying in tongue, you're praying prophesied word. When you're praying in tongue, you're praying accurately. I told you in the first beginning, praying in tongue is the entrance into the supernatural. It's the entrance into the perfect will of God. You might be going the wrong way. Praying in tongue will turn you around. See? The dual purpose of tongue is enlightenment and empowerment. Enlightenment and empowerment. We must move beyond just excitement. We must be able to flow in enlightenment to see where we're walking at. And empowerment to hold our ground when the enemy try to take us off our base. I get to praying in the Spirit, boy. Hey! I'd lose sight of anything but the glory of God, the will of God, the power of God, the way of God. The purpose of God. God's original plan for me to have dominion. When I pray in tongue, I get back in my dominion. I get back in my authority. When I pray in the Spirit, I turn into another man. Praying in tongue is a supernatural language. So it stir up the supernatural on the inside of you. Stir your enemies up. Knock them out the way. So get this one. Tongues, praying in the spirit. When I say tongue, I'm talking about praying in the spirit, all right? Tongue is speaking the language and will of God. Is speaking the language and will of God. Again, we look back at two scriptures. You know, Hosea 4:6 is a scripture that talks about people's ignorance. How people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Uh-huh. Praying in tongue is help with your ultimate weakness. What is the believer's ultimate weakness? The prophet Hosea said in his writing, look at Hosea 4:6. Reveal God's heartache. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, listen very carefully, because this is what praying the Spirit will do for you. Knowledge does not just imply information, but also know-how. Know what to do. Know what to do. Not knowing, you listening? And not knowing how is the ultimate destruction of God's people. But praying in the spirit, you see. Praying in the spirit, you come into the know. Yeah, that's why Satan fight it somewhere. That's why he don't want you to pray in the spirit. That's why he wants you to say them little sweet water prayer. Right quick, you know, 5 times, Lord, I love you. You love me. I know you're there. I'm over here. What? Like the Lord don't know where you are. No, you speak his language. I didn't take much time at Isaiah 28:11. Look back there again. I didn't take much time in stammering lips and other tongues should God speak to his people. Then he talks about a rest and a refreshing now. One of the most spiritual refreshing contact you can make with God is praying in the spirit. How you going to pray without ceasing now? You're going to pray, Lord, it's me, and I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. And you're going, and then look at your watch, you ain't been praying in more 5 minutes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But see, praying, when Paul tells us pray without ceasing, Paul was talking the language of praying in tongues. I could just pray on and on and on and on and on and on in the spirit and know I'm getting results. I'd be praying in the spirit, and I get stuck on a syllable. You know, I keep saying it over. I said, now I'm going to give you a secret now. Lord, what is that? And I open my mouth to speak again. It come out the same way. I said, Lord, what is that? Haven't failed me. After 3 or 4 times, it's time to write. He tell me exactly what it is. Because, you see, there's prayer and there's interpretation when you pray in the spirit. Now, I must make you aware of this fact, because somebody might try to confuse you. Praying in the spirit is a personal, devotional, private language when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. You find it in Acts 2:1-4, I think it is, all right? That's a gift from God for your personal life. You can pray in the spirit anytime you're ready, all right? Every time you're ready. But then over in 1 Corinthians, see, Paul said, I don't want you ignorant of spiritual things. In 1 Corinthians, one of the gifts in 1 Corinthians is divers kind of tongue. See, that's a ministry gift there. It's not the same as praying in the spirit. Now, I've seen people over the years got confused over that. You see, because they say the spirit the gifts function as the spirit will. And then you say, you tell me I can pray anytime I want. Well, you're dealing with two different type of prayer. It's not right for a person to pray in tongue if they can't interpret. I mean, to speak in tongue, they can't interpret, or they don't have somebody to interpret it. See? Don't let nobody confuse you with that. That prayer language is come along with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, praying in the Spirit is the evidence of you being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And matter of fact, if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and don't pray in the Spirit, it don't make no difference. You're just going to be a born again of the spirit person, but you're not going to enter into that realm unless you pray in tongue. Nobody can pray in tongue for you like you can pray for yourself. Start off 10 minutes a day. Don't worry about the syllable. Just let it toss you to the wind. The Lord ain't gonna lie to you. He's gonna help you. Hallelujah. I said he's gonna help you. Hallelujah. I know I got some infirmities I need some help with. You too. When Paul over there in Romans 8:26 talking about the Spirit help our infirmities, when Paul used the word help, he's painting a picture of a system afforded to infants not able to support themselves or to the feeble, staggering, and barely able to walk. I mean, just how important it is. Notice what I say now. You got to get the analogy now. That's how you are spiritually. You're feeble. You can't even walk by faith. You can't even walk in the Spirit properly if the Holy Ghost don't help you in the realm of the Spirit. You can see it, you can say it, but you can't have it. Now notice he uses this illustration here. I think this is good. When Paul uses the word help, he is painting a picture of a sister afforded to infants, not able to support themselves, or to the feeble, staggering, and barely able to walk. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? What are you saying here? I'm saying that a born-again person, compared to a person who's born again and baptized with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, that person's life is going to be a feeble life compared to this person's life, because that person can't enter into the realm of the Spirit and can't walk like that person who prays in the Spirit. Man, we're talking about divine assistance. We actually, I thank you, Holy Ghost, we actually talking about God talking to himself. God talking to himself, telling himself what he need to do for you. Did you hear that? When you're praying in the Spirit, it's a conversation, you praying, but on the same token, God give you the language to talk to him so he can do for you legally what he always wanted to do. Bypass Satan. He can't block the road. He can't block the blessing because he don't know when it happened. I can see Satan, the demon, sent on a mission to a home. And they land and they enter in the home. And then it got six people in the house, and they're all praying the Holy Ghost. They went back to headquarters, and they're all praying the Holy Ghost. I don't know what they're saying. I don't know what they're saying. The Satan can't stay in the room with a person who's praying in the Holy Ghost. He can't stay long. See? It's an area you want him out of your life? Huh? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It means to relieve what? Praying in the Spirit. Now, you listen. Praying in the Spirit, it means to relieve those whose strength is insufficient to carry that burden alone. What you carry? I mean, when Paul said, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset you, Paul talked to me when Jesus talked about a light burden and an easy yoke, praying in tongue will bring that to pass. I mean, I have a schedule. You know, I got to be in Florida tomorrow. I mean, I've been preaching since Tuesday morning. I preached to 140 preachers on the phone, impartation. Then I had my class last night. Then I went to a funeral day and got whipped. Lord have mercy. And left and forgot the body and started talking to me. That's why y'all got to let me off. I send them boys, because they when they see me, the funeral over. I urge people. I'm not trying to do it, you know, I'm trying to walk in love, but I guess the success of my ministry. I don't be wanting people to get in trouble, you know. You can get in trouble like that. I don't want to scare you, but I can tell you a lot of people who dead. I tell you, a lot of people who are incapacitated, more than one, more than two, more than three. They got on the wrong line, man. Don't get on the wrong line. Just don't say nothing, just walk away. Didn't God tell you, touch not my anointed? Do my prophet, I know you're talking about do my apostle, do my pastor no harm. So I do better do people dishonor. I got get up and get out. I get up and leave out because I don't want them to say nothing else, man, because you signing your death warrant. I'm trying to walk in love if I can, you know. The word infirmities, we're still in Romans 8. The word infirmity, weakness, shortcoming, lack of strength, and incapacity. This word is not, watch me now, this word is not referring to physical disease, but much more to our limitation or deficiencies in the spirit. In the spirit. See, in Christ, in the spirit. In Christ, in the spirit. The weakness spoken here is that of the believer's inability and insufficiency of how to properly and accurately engage a situation in prayer. Now see, can you agree with this? We understand the generality of prayer, but how to specifically engage which type of prayer for a given situation is beyond the grasp of the believer. Hallelujah. So our ultimate weakness as a child of God, therefore, is not knowing how to properly pray. See, but God made provision for that. He told him, he said, don't leave Jerusalem. Acts 1:8. He said, wait, don't go out there. You need extra. You're going out there among wolves in sheep clothing. This is where praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit gives assistance in that he knows exactly how to pray about the situation. He knows exactly how to pray. Now, I see you looking at me. Listen. Praying in the spirit has to be done by faith. You have to trust the God you serve. You see in his word that if one lay hand on you, I didn't have a hand laid on me. I got baptized. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. My wife was saying, she was at her death. And she had him say something in English. And, you know, I guess I've been praying in tongue in the house so much after I got baptized in the Holy Ghost at the beginning that it just fell on her. And she aimed to say something in English on her job, and it came out wrong. She tried to say it again, it came out wrong again. So she got off to herself, got baptized. I didn't lay a hand on her, she got baptized on her job. I told you, my kids, when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I got on a lawnmower. I revved that lawnmower up, went ahead back in the pastor. I said, I'm gonna see if you wake back here. But it worked. It worked. It's real. Now here's another thing. In talking about this large church with the point of 8 years, got problem. Young man got great expectations, not filled. I work with a man. Now, I read the Bible every day, all day, even on my job. Don't do that. I actually quit my job years before I quit. I did just enough to get by, tell you the truth, but it's sad. But I did because I was hungry, but you know, I knew it was a whole lot of lunch bucket preacher. And I didn't know, in the deep south here, we don't know about no full-time ministry, you know? And so I wasn't looking for no full-time ministry. I didn't want to do what the Lord wanted me to do. But I prayed in the Holy Ghost. I was not baptized with the Holy Ghost. And after finding out about the Holy Ghost, there was a man who would talk to me at least once a week. I found out years later, then he told me, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. I could have got off that tank car and whooped him. He talked to me about the Bible over and over again and wouldn't tell me about the Holy Ghost. Man, it wouldn't do nothing to get me baptized. I was so immersed in the Spirit of God and loved God so much. You just got to tell me, man. And it hurt me because he didn't tell me. It seemed like he was holding something back from me. My goodness. So tongue is the ultimate assistant in prayer. Praying in tongue enable all things to work things together for our good. Why I say it? Because they make intercession according for the saints, according to the will of God. You see, remember Romans 8:20. We know all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, notice this. Because of not understanding how Romans 8:28 come into existence, this is what Christians say. They don't know it came through existence by our infirmities being helped, by the Holy Ghost taking a hold together against with us, and by you praying in the Spirit. It started working together. So they sometimes try to explain all things work together for good. It's an expression that many Christians have used to put a nice face on a bad situation. They're getting their tail whooped. They say, all things work together for good. Because they don't understand how to act. Well, that is. They don't know how to activate it. See? So they say it in a term they're going through something. So to try to make themselves look good or feel good, they say, all things, no, it's not going to automatically work together. If you don't pray in the Spirit and get the Holy Ghost to get a hold of that thing with you, it's not going to work together. You can say it all you want. You can make it look all the night. You're going to catch the same hell you've been catching. See? But I want you to know, as a member of this church, that that verse means there's somebody who activated things to be worked together. It don't automatically work together for your good. But if you pray in the Spirit, it finally got to line up with your best interest. Hallelujah. It finally has to line up with your best interest. Hallelujah. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good news? You see, even people who, back to Hosea 4 and 6, ignorant and lack of knowledge, some have even used it in death, accident, and other disappointing situations. They declared that all things went together for good for them that love God. It ain't good somebody died. It ain't good that I had no accident. It ain't good that some kind of sickness can jump on me. I ain't gonna just stand on all things went together for good for them that love. No. I need to stop this. I need to stop it. You follow what I'm saying? But you see, if you don't know no better, you try to take the Bible, and you know you're always saying we all got the same God. Yeah, but I got more of him than you. Because the baptism puts you in a better state with God. He said it in his own word. So this verse, I want you to remember this, was not given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to excuse failures. It was given to stop failure. But you have a part to play in it. Amen. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? So y'all holding hand. What is this? What did he have your hand when you come in here? Hallelujah. See here? So when y'all come around that curb, I said, let me see something. I believe he got a hand. I'm watching my children. I said, oh, he holding a hand. I see you been up here setting up here. Success, let me say this to you now, this may help you. Success belongs to the tongue talker. When you pray in tongue, all things work together for good. Notice he didn't say something. Praying and interceding, that's another word now, interceding, see, in tongue is working on your behalf to bring the good life or good to your life. I think it's Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified Bible said we all ordained to live the good life. But it's not, I always tell you, it's not automatic. You have to access it and activate it. And I think praying in tongues is accessing and activating the good life. I mean, if all things work together for good, how good can it get? But you see, it's connected with the Holy Ghost taking the whole together against with you. You're praying in the spirit. I know this is a broken language, and I notice we pray in tongue different. Sound different, but it's your own portion of language. Quite natural, the devil go, that's the devil. You think he's going to tell on himself? He's just trying to stop you, you see, because he know you're getting out of hand. When you go to praying in the Holy Ghost, you're getting out of hand. I like this one now. Praying in tongue aids us in being God inside minded. God inside minded. Then John 14:17. God minded, miracle minded. You become miracle minded. You become God. Oh, good God Almighty. You become, that's the kind of church I want, Pastor. God inside minded. Praying in tongue, a miracle can hit you any minute. Because you done got out the realm of the natural. You done gone in the realm of the supernatural. We'll talk about it later on about getting drunk in the spirit. People go to laughing, staggering like they've been drinking whiskey or something because they get filled with the spirit. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Praying in tongue, you listening? Will be of a great benefit to you because it is a constant reminder of the presence and the power of the indwelling spirit. It reminds you I'm not by myself. And the one I'm with is big enough to handle anything. Hallelujah. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not by myself. And the one who's with me is big enough to handle anything. Now say a syllable in tongue. Make a statement and say a syllable, you see. Make a statement and say a syllable. Read a scripture and pray in tongues. Say, that's mine. I got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what. If you don't make it, it's not going to be my fault. You're hearing enough to be blessed. I know that's right. So continue praying and worshiping in tongue will help you to be consciously aware of the reality of the indwelling spirit. And you need to be aware of that. You need to know about the indwelling spirit, that he's there. No matter what your body going through, no matter what your neighbor say about you, no matter what your co-workers say about you, no matter what. You know the indwelling spirit is in there to bring a change in your life in a supernatural way. And you're stirring him up when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. Stirring up the Holy Ghost. Stirring up the man on the inside of me, the divine being, that my divine nature, the kingdom that I'm a citizen of, is stirred up on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Now, when you pray in tongues, let me give you this one again, because the next statement you'll have to hear this. Continue praying and worshiping in tongues will help you to be consciously aware of the reality of the indwelling spirit. You got that? Because you're going to go over this statement next. This realization of what? Of the indwelling spirit will cause you to rely more on his ability rather than yours. All right, are y'all here? You hear me? Yeah, see? See? Because you know he's in there, you see. He's never been whipped. He's never failed. You can't find me one verse in the Bible that show that the Holy Spirit failed. He has no limitation. There's actually no form of breakthrough that he can't get. He's the Holy Ghost. He's God the Holy Ghost. Thank God for God the Holy Ghost. Thank God for God the Holy Ghost. He's holding me. He's helping me. And he's removing everything that hinders me. That's shouting ground there, boy. I say that's shouting ground. I'm so glad I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad I'm not. I'm just saying it like this. I'm so glad I'm just not Baptist. I'm glad I'm baptized. I'm not saying, of course, I'm not saying that no Baptist is not baptized, but I don't want to just be Baptist. I want to be baptized. I've been Baptist before. You got children going through things. Oh, my God, you need the Holy Ghost. You can talk to them as much as you want. But when you get to by yourself and they're going through something, you need some help. Yeah. Now you get to praying in the Holy Ghost and walk in a supermarket or a store and you pass a point. They sense that presence on your life. Then the Holy Ghost aggravates some people. See, because I know that was happening at the funeral today. They don't know how to get where you are. So they got to get you down some kind of way. And so in the flesh, they try to pull the spirit down. You can't do that. You can't whoop the spirit. Preachers bad at that. They won't let nobody teach them nothing. And then they think they already have it or have it, and they don't. So his power is more effective than all human abilities and talent. Hallelujah. All human abilities and talent. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're surpassing all human abilities and all human talent and all human education and all human academic. You're going into another realm where God himself is. Power and glory and strength and victory and majesty and sovereignty. Hallelujah. Praying the Holy Ghost will make the devil wear his brake shoes out. I mean, not her. Send me, and he go back to headquarters and say, give me somebody else. Give me this woman up 4 o'clock in the morning praying in tongues. Don't send me that. Send me somebody else. Send me one of them knuckleheads sleep all day long. That woman praying. Paul in the latter chapter in Romans, I listened to the whole book of Romans the other day, the whole book. We're going through the book of Romans, but I listened to the whole book of Romans on my phone in one setting. And he got to the end, and he started thanking God for them women. He started calling their names, said, they're helping me. Well, I got me some here now. They're helping me. And they took this atmosphere. This atmosphere wasn't right, you know, because there's a lot of gibbish stuff, laughing, screaming, skinning. When I get out here, we got to pull the choir, the preacher's got to push and push. You can talk about your shirt, your dress, and everything else. And to pray it, it don't take more than 15 minutes to mess it up. Mess the atmosphere up. Not that it's bad within yourself, it's just flesh. And the rest of y'all are supposed to go in the back to pray. Y'all sitting up here. I got designated people. All y'all won't come in here now. I see y'all waking your mouth. Y'all supposed to pray in the back. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, in Zechariah 4:6, put in your note, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. As you keep praying in tongues, what I said? It enables you to be constantly aware of the fact that you are a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus and that the Holy Spirit indwell you. Wow. Wow. Now, for God's sake and your sake, stand up, let's pray in the Spirit a few minutes. Just a few minutes. Just a few minutes. Think about all the things we've talked about, because you have no business. Look at me. I want you to look up at me. You have no business being whipped. You have no business being discouraged. You have no business not having confidence and access with boldness, because you are a child of the living God. You're born of His Spirit, and you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. If you follow the instruction from this pulpit, whether I'm preaching, my son's preaching, or one of these other boys preaching, if you follow the instruction, they all line up with what I'm preaching. If you follow the instruction, you're going to move into another level. Some of y'all, sickness in your body. Some of y'all, your finances not right. Your family's not right. You can't find your mate. On and on and on. Listen to me. Pray in the Spirit. Some of y'all not treated fair on your job. You give other people promotion over you. You know it was your promotion. Did my wife that? My wife, a college graduate. They took a girl who wasn't a college graduate and put her over my wife. My wife challenged him. See how you do that? You know? You see, democracy is not proper. You see, the church has to learn theocracy. God's will. And when you're on God's will, ain't nobody can do you no harm.